interesting, not just in my life, but all around us. When we look around, we don't have to look very far. So I share these words with you from Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 through 21. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. I think I even had that on the slide. See? Hebrews 13, 20 through 21. We live in a stressed out world. If you are brave enough to turn on the news and watch it, you are bombarded with stories from around the world of wars, of political unrest, of starvation, of corruption, of storms. And so I remind you of the Nazarene Compassionate Ministries, the websites in the bulletin, ncm.org. Sometimes I feel like a commercial. But there are the times it just seems like the sky is falling. Maybe it was Chicken Little, right? It seems like it sometimes. Even without the barrage of the news media, which I, as your pastor, strongly recommend you just turn it off. Because it just bums you out. It gets your mind off the Lord and focusing on problems. Now, if you're one of the few people that can watch the news and it prompts you to prayer, by all means, do that. But far too many of us absorb the news and we just come away going, oh, what's the point? Oh, this world is terrible. It should drive us to prayer. But even without that, we have enough going on in our own personal lives, don't we? That make us kind of freak out sometimes. We have financial problems. We have our own battles, sometimes with a coworker or a neighbor or a friend, a family member. There's the responsibilities of life that can get to weigh in pretty heavy on us. Addiction struggles that seem at times will never end. Health problems that feel like they're never going to go away. And with all this going on in our lives, doesn't it make sense then that we find ways to simplify our life? You know, I think it's kind of a default thing that most of us do. When life starts getting busy, we start cutting things out. The fringe stuff. The stuff that doesn't matter. The stuff that takes up time but really doesn't enhance our lives. Kind of a pragmatic thing, I guess. And if we're not careful, our faith can get pushed to that edge. Or maybe to the back burner, to use another illustration. Because we get so busy, so caught up, taking care of all this. You think of the man in the circus who's spinning plates on the stick. And he gets two of them going, and three or four. And he's busy running around spinning all these plates. You ever feel that way? And you think, why? It's a plate. Why are you doing that? Well, we can't do that with life. We can't just let the plates fall with life. But sometimes we stop spinning those unimportant plates. And unfortunately, sometimes the plate of faith falls. We lose our fervor. We lose our vitality. We lose our focus as to why we worship God and why we follow God and why we read the scripture. And church becomes routine. And the Bible starts collecting dust. And fellowship seems like another chore. And our love for God becomes tepid. We lose that adventurous spirit that we once had, that we once thought, man, we could make a difference in this world. Maybe not globally, but at least here in our community, at least with our neighbors. And pretty soon we pull the drapes and lock the door, and we don't even want to look across the street. So we need reminders, constant reminders. We too easily lose sight of who this God is that we serve, this God that we worship. And in this passage in Hebrews, this benediction to the letter of Hebrews, we find this wonderful picture of the God we serve. And it's my prayer that these truths will pump some spiritual adrenaline into our lives and remind us that the God we serve is truly worthy of us giving our everything every day of our life. Number one, this God we serve, this passage reminds us that God is transcendent. God is transcendent. He is holy. Now, what does it mean that he's holy? Transcendency is part of his holy attributes, meaning that he is above creation. He is above everything that we can see, touch, feel, explore. He is above everything that we can't see, that we don't know. All the questions that the astrophysicists are asking about deep space and the oceanographers that are studying life undersea, and we're still finding new creatures that we never knew existed. God knows all about that, but he is transcendent above all that. Meaning that because God created everything that we know to exist, he is above and superior to. He is separate from his creation. King Solomon put it this way in 1 Kings chapter 8 when he was faced with building the temple for this transcendent God. He said, "Will God indeed dwell on earth? Behold, heaven and the highest heavens cannot contain you." God is not a part of our creation. Don't easily fall into the pantheistic thinking of when you look at a beautiful mountain scene or the ocean or something like that and say, "Wow, I am looking at God." That is not God. You are looking at the creation that God has accomplished. Do not confuse what has been created with the Creator. God is above, transcendent, separate from that. And the fact that he is makes the incarnation of Christ even more incredible. The fact that this transcendent God would take on human flesh and come and live on this earth that he created and subject himself to its laws of gravity and life, and the need to breathe this air that he created and consume food in order to survive and work and sweat and feel pain and feel joy and feel love and feel hurt and everything that we experience in life. All this that God created, he became a part of. It's a wonderful and powerful thing. The holiness of God has been described as a mystery, a mysterious otherness, meaning that God is so far removed from what you and I can comprehend that he is indescribable. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts." There are simply no words in our language. There's no words in any language that can fully and adequately describe to us what God is like. Accurately describing God would be like trying to describe and explain quantum physics to a slug. Now, there's probably a few of you here that could explain quantum physics to some of us. I'm not including myself in that, but I'm sure some of you would catch on. But a slug doesn't even speak the same language. Doesn't even speak a language, as far as we know, in a way that the slug could understand. Ah, that's one smart slug. And this is why the person of Jesus is so important to us. As Christians, we believe that Jesus Christ, the incarnation of God, is the ultimate of revelation of who God is to humankind. Jesus reveals to us slugs what God is all about. He bridged that gap. So this God that we serve revealed to us in Jesus the Messiah, the Christ, as described in this benediction. Number one, we see that he is a God of peace. May the God of peace, he starts out. Oh, if we ever needed God's peace, it's in days like these, isn't it? Someone once defined peace as what grace feels like when you put it on. It's that peace from God that surpasses our understanding. I personally experienced this peace when my dad passed away. I experienced this peace standing in the chemo room, watching the doctors and the nurses hook up the chemo and start pumping it into my wife. And it's just amazing. And you could probably tell about times when you thought, I should be really freaking out right now, but God is here with me. And there's a calmness in my soul because of who he is. Amen. I can't tell you what will happen tomorrow. I can't tell you what will happen next week. But God knows, and I trust him. I trust him fully. And so I know that whatever happens, that peace will still be with me. Always. We're promised that. Paul says in Philippians chapter 4 that we are to be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. I confess, at the start of this cancer journey, I had some anxious moments. I did. And then that peace came in. And the anxiety went away. Paul tells us, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, we can't forget that part, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. God is a God of peace. Secondly, we see that he is a God of resurrection. He is the God who brings life out of death. In John chapter 8, Jesus called Lazarus out of the tomb after he had been dead for 4 days. He resurrected a 4-day dead body. And when you believe in the resurrection, you believe, you can believe anything. He can do anything. A broken marriage can be restored. Relationships can be married, can be mended. Trust can be restored. Addictions can be overcome. Lives that are stuck in a rut can be revived. And you know, even dead churches can be brought back to life. One of our general superintendents, J.K. Warwick, tells a story of a broken and dysfunctional church that was ready to close its doors. The pastor and the church board didn't get along. Constant tension, constant disagreements. People were leaving like rats from a burning ship. It was obvious to everyone around that this church was going down. And so the district superintendent went to that church and met with the board and the pastor, and they started the proceedings for closing the church. And the Spirit of God decided to show up at this meeting. Isn't that great when the Spirit of God comes to a church meeting? And suddenly they all started looking at each other across the table. And they started confessing. I haven't been honest with you. I've lied about you. I've hated you in my heart. And walls started coming down. And the Spirit of God knitted their hearts together once again. And what was meant to be a meeting where they were going to close the church became a meeting of rededication, a revival, a resurrection of a dead church. J.K. Warwick said, you know, we've tried to limit God to our manual, but he just doesn't play along. Isn't that great? He is the God of the resurrection. Number three, he is a God who equips. May he equip you with everything good for doing his will. He is a God who equips. The church is an amazing thing. This fun, eclectic, sometimes wacky group of people that we call Westside Community Church. We gather together around a common faith. We worship. We partake in the Holy Sacrament of Communion. We hear the Word of God. We sing praises to God. We discuss the Word of God. We encourage one another. We share life together. We share the joys of life. And we share the heartaches of life together. And all the while encouraging and praying for others to join us. We all bring a different voice to this choir that we call Westside. We all have different gifts and talents that from God that make us complete, and God knows exactly what we need, and he promises to supply that need beyond all we can ask or imagine. He is the God who equips us. And lastly, he is the God who is at work in our lives. He's at work to bring that which is pleasing in his sight. No one is here to get rich. No one is here to become famous. We're not here for status or power, according to the standards of this world. But God works in us to bring about those things which bring glory and honor to Christ. He is at work to sanctify us, to make us holy, to make us his people, his ambassadors. Eugene Peterson describes our walk with Christ and discipleship in general as a long obedience in the same direction. A long obedience in the same direction. We have been doing Westside Community Church for 8 years now, 8+. And there have been people, there have been times when I've looked at what we have and think, man, I'm just spinning my wheels. There's been other churches in our district that have started up since we started First Church. And they've closed for different reasons. But every time, I tell you, every time I get to that place where I'm just like, what am I doing? What are we doing? We're not going anywhere. We're spinning our wheel. God comes along and says, no, you're not done. Keep going. Keep going. And we keep going. And we're still here today. I don't know where we'll be next year. I don't know where we'll be 15 years from now. I don't even know if I'll be here 15 years from now. But we do know this, that God has a purpose. God has a plan. We do know that we're not just wasting our time. We're not just spinning our wheels. We do know that people are growing in the Lord. We do know that lives are being changed. We do see victory after victory after victory. And we do see new faces. And so we keep going. Because we're not doing this for status. We're not doing this. We're not here to become the biggest church in town. We're not here to be the fanciest church in town. And even though you have the best looking pastor in town, we're not here for a beauty contest. Just have to see if you guys were awake out there. You didn't catch it, did you? Because your hearing aids turned down. But we're in a long obedience in the same direction. And until God says do something differently, here we go. Hop on board. So in light of all this, our hearts should be asking of this God that we serve, God, what do you want to teach me in all of this? And so now I want to ask you if you would bow your heads with me and prayerfully consider this question. Lord, what do you want to teach me in all of this? Are you living in the peace that God has promised you? Are you trusting God to do the impossible? Are you leaning into the resources that God provides? Remember, He is the God who equips. Are you trusting in those resources? And are you allowing God to continue His sanctifying work in your heart? What kind of God do we serve? We serve an awesome God. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing His will, that He may work in us what is pleasing to Him. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. God, I do thank you that you bring us the peace. That despite what we see going on in the world around us, chaos, turmoil, we can have peace. I thank you, Lord, that you are the God of the resurrection. When life, when there's death around us, when it seems hopeless, when it seems like it's time to just close the doors, either on this project or that relationship or something else, you are the God of resurrection. You are the one that brings life back into our lives. I thank you that you are the God who equips, that you know exactly what we need to do what you want us to do, and that you will provide all that we need, and you will do that in an abundance that will blow us away. And I thank you, God, that you are at work in our lives. Not to make us rich, not to make us popular, but to make us pleasing in your sight. And so I pray, Lord God, that you would give us a steadfastness in our faith and in our lives. I pray, God, that we would have a long-term faith, a long-haul faith, and that you would direct us and guide us, and that you would continue that sanctifying work in cleansing us and renewing us and filling us with your love, that we may serve those around you to your glory. I thank you, Jesus, that you want to do these things in our lives. And as we surrender to you, you will do it. Thank you, Lord God, for tonight. May this blessing carry us through this week. May we know, Lord, your peace, your resurrection power, your gifts in our lives, and that you are constantly at work for your glory. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Lord bless you, people.